This message is given in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Today's sermon, as well as the sermons for the next two Sundays, will be based on sections of Matthew chapter 13, where we find various kingdom parables of Jesus. Now, if we want to understand what these kingdom parables are about, we must first understand what a parable is and what the kingdom of God is. So first of all, what is a parable? Well, when we hear that word parable, we usually think of a story that a person uses to illustrate a point. Someone tells a parable to help other people better understand the idea that he or she is trying to convey. And when we tell those kind of stories, we expect people to hear what we're saying and then respond, "Oh, I get what you mean now. Yeah, I understand perfectly." However, what may surprise you is that most of the parables told by Jesus do not have that result. Instead, when Jesus tells a parable, more times than not, the people are often confused and confounded. What's going on here? Well, if you examine the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, John doesn't record any parables of Jesus, you will find that Jesus tells parables to sort out those who don't believe from those who do. Those who do not believe hear Jesus' parables and they conclude that he is either crazy or evil. They hear Jesus' parables and they walk away without even trying to understand. But in contrast, those who do believe in Jesus hear his parables and they come to him in humble faith for further clarification. The believers say, "Jesus, we don't fully understand, but please explain your teaching to us because you are our Lord and Savior. Without your word, we're nothing. So help us to understand what you're saying." Now you might wonder how we got to this divide in Jesus' ministry where we have believers and unbelievers. Well, if you read the first 12 chapters of Matthew, you will find that Jesus goes around preaching plainly. He preaches plainly about the fact that we are good-for-nothing sinners, but that he has come to bring us forgiveness, love, and eternal life with God. Jesus clearly preaches this for the first 12 chapters of Matthew. Some people hear this message and could care less or are even offended, whereas other people hear this message and they believe. They believe that Jesus is who he says he is. So by the time we get to Matthew chapter 13, Jesus decides no more preaching plainly. He's going to tell parables that sort of cloud the issue. And again, this is for the purpose of sorting out believers from unbelievers. Those who've heard Jesus' message previously and rejected the clear word of God now hear the parables and they say, "That's ridiculous. This Jesus is either evil or crazy. I don't want to waste any more time with him." However, those who previously heard what Jesus had to say, they hear the parables and they go, "Wow, I'm not sure I get that, but I know that Jesus is my Lord and Savior. So I'm going to come to him to receive further clarification so I can understand what this story is about, because I know that Jesus and his word alone is my only hope and salvation." So that's why Jesus tells parables. In fact, our reading for today is from Matthew chapter 13, verses 1 through 9, and verses 18 through 23. If you look in your bulletin, you will note that verses 1 through 9 is the parable of the sower and the soils itself, and then verses 18 through 23 is Jesus' explanation of that parable. But what about the verses in between? What happens there? Well, listen carefully to verses 10 through 12 of Matthew chapter 13. the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Why do you speak to the people in parables?" Jesus replied, "The knowledge of the kingdom has been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him." Wow. Did Jesus really say that? In fact, these words of Jesus seem so unfair. He's saying that those who have will be given more, and those who don't have will lose even what little they do have. But you need to understand that Jesus is talking about the difference between believers and unbelievers. In fact, we heard a similar statement from last Sunday's gospel reading where we heard these words of Jesus. Listen to this. "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children." Now, as we learned last Sunday, the wise and learned are those who heard Jesus' teaching about forgiveness and eternal life and thought it was foolishness. Whereas the little children are those who were given the ability to trust in Jesus and long for his word. And so those who don't have faith in Jesus, well, they will lose everything in the end when they stand condemned on the day of judgment. Whereas those who repent of their sin and trust in Jesus as their Savior, they will inherit the abundant mercy and love of God's eternal kingdom. Therefore, we now understand what Jesus means when he says, "Whoever has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him." Well, now we know how Jesus used parables. But next, we need to recognize that all the parables that we find in Matthew chapter 13, they're all about the kingdom of God. Now, when we hear that word kingdom, we think of earthly kings or earthly governments. And we think of how earthly kings and earthly governments tend to control the people under them or go to war against each other and the like. However, the kingdom that Jesus brings into this world is something totally different from our experience with earthly kingdoms. You see, according to Scripture, God's kingdom is about God's Son entering this evil world to serve and save his enemies. Think about that. In earthly kingdoms, usually you go to war against your enemies. But here in Jesus' kingdom, he actually comes to serve and save his enemies. And those who receive Jesus as king receive his love and salvation. But those who reject Jesus as king remain slaves in the kingdom of the devil. Once again, God's kingdom is about Jesus striving to save his enemies so that they can become beloved citizens of his eternal kingdom of love and life. But those who reject Jesus' kingdom will sadly remain in their own self-made kingdom of sin and death. With that understood, let's now examine Jesus' parable about the sower and the soils. Now Jesus tells the crowds about a farmer who sows seed in various kinds of soil. But only one kind of soil actually yields a harvest. The other soils yield only death. Now you have to understand, this parable doesn't seem to make any sense. I mean, why would a farmer deliberately throw seed on bad soil? Well, what the unbelievers don't understand or accept is that the various soils represent sinners who need the salvation that only Jesus can give. And so Jesus sows the seed of his word on all kinds of soil because he wants all to be saved and become part of his kingdom. However, the unbelievers that we read about in the first 12 chapters of Matthew, The unbelievers who heard Jesus' clear teaching and rejected it, these unbelievers now think that Jesus doesn't know what he's talking about. And so they walk away in scorn. But those who believe, those who had heard Jesus' clear preaching and trusted in him, well, they now realize that Jesus is trying to make some sort of spiritual point about God's kingdom, and so they come to Jesus for further clarification. Jesus then gives them this explanation. He clearly explains that the farmer represents God. God is the sower. And the seed that he sows is his word. And the various soils are people in various stages of being able to receive God's word. However, only the good soil that has been plowed up and cleared of rocks and weeds, only this soil can receive Jesus' teaching about the forgiveness of sin and new life with God. Therefore, what we're learning here is that the three types of bad soil are people who don't really understand the good news. In other words, they don't recognize how sinful they really are, and therefore, they do not appreciate Jesus' teaching about forgiveness and salvation. For example, let's look at the three bad soils. The first one is a hard soil on the path. This represents people whose hearts are completely hardened to Jesus' word about forgiveness. But why would that be? Well, they are hardened to Jesus' word about forgiveness because either they deny that they have any sin, or they think that their good deeds outweigh their bad deeds, and so they don't need a Savior. Therefore, when they hear Jesus preach about repentance and trusting in him for forgiveness, they're actually indifferent to that message or even offended by it. Now, God wants to save these people, but he can't save them as long as they see no need for forgiveness. Unfortunately, when they hear the good news, they either ignore it or they even despise it. Sadly, the devil remains their master, whether they realize it or not. That reminds me of an opportunity I had to speak the good news about Jesus to someone in the community who was an atheist. When I explained to this person that the Bible says we're all by nature God's enemies, we're all sinners, and that God sent his son to be our Savior, he was actually offended. He said, "Are you telling me that you think I'm a sinner and that I'm by nature God's enemy? I'm offended." That's an example of the hard soil. People see absolutely no need for forgiveness because they don't recognize the fact that they are God's enemies. Next, the soil with rocks represents those who like what Jesus has to say, but sadly they don't really understand what he's saying. You see, they wrongly think that the good news means that they won't ever have to suffer in this life. If you follow Jesus, things will finally start to go your way. It makes me think of a popular book nowadays, Your Best Life Now. If you just follow Jesus, things will finally start turning around. That's what they think the good news is about. It's not about forgiveness of sin and reconciliation with God. It's about finally having your life go the way you want it to go. Well, what happens when people understand the gospel in this way? Jesus says that when persecution comes because of the word, in other words, when you find that those who follow Jesus may end up being persecuted, these people quickly desert Jesus. Because the whole reason they followed him in the first place is they thought, hey, following him means that my life will be free of trials. So the moment they have to suffer any kind of persecution for being followers of Jesus, they quickly quickly disassociate themselves from Him and turn their backs on Him. Now, the soil with weeds and thorns is similar to the soil with rocks. Such people hear the good news, but once again, they fail to understand it. These people think that the good news is about health, wealth, and prosperity in this life. They don't realize it's about recognizing that you're an enemy of God and that Jesus has come to lay down His life for you so that your sins can be forgiven. No, they hear what they want to hear. And what they're hearing is, the good news is about Jesus who has the power to give me health, wealth, and prosperity. Such people view God as a divine Santa Claus and not as their Savior from sin. Therefore, when such people face times of hardship in this world, instead of running to God in faith, they actually get angry at God because they think He's not giving them what they deserve. As a result, they turn their backs on Jesus during times of hardship. In the same way, when people find out that they can become more prosperous and more wealthy and more happy by following some other teaching besides Jesus, they quickly turn their backs on Him because the allure of greed says, hey, if doing something else and living a different way and following someone else besides Jesus gets you more health, wealth, and prosperity, then that's the way to go. So, do you want to be good soil? Obviously, that's the question that Jesus wants us to ask today. You see, if we're any one of those three soils, we have no hope. Without Jesus, we yield only death. In contrast to the three bad soils, what is the good soil? The good soil is land that has been plowed up and cleared of rocks and weeds so that the good news about forgiveness can take root and grow freely, producing an abundant harvest of faith and good works. In other words, the good soil represents people who recognize their sin and the fact that they deserve only God's wrath. And so they long for the mercy, love, and life that only Jesus can give them. The message of forgiveness through Jesus reaches deep into the hearts and minds of these people. And the result is that they can't get enough of Jesus. In fact, no matter what happens to them in life, they just keep wanting more of Jesus and His teaching. And the result is that their faith in God grows stronger. You know, this reminds me of what Jesus once said in John chapter 15. He said, if a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Now, with all that understood, it's very important for us to realize that each and every one of us could easily be one of those first three bad soils. In fact, let's face it. Sometimes we're like the hard soil, and the message of forgiveness bounces off our hearts because we're thinking about what wonderful people we are. Or sometimes we're like the rocky soil. We turn away from Jesus when being a Christian isn't popular because we've somehow deluded ourselves into thinking that being a Christian means that things are supposed to go well for you. Or sometimes we're like the weedy soil. We turn away from Jesus during times of hardship or prosperity because, again, we've been duped by the popular message that being a Christian is about having health, wealth, and prosperity. The fact is, without Jesus, we'd always and only be bad soil. So then, how do we get to be good soil? Well, once again, in order to be good soil, we need to be plowed up. Our hardened pride must be broken. The sinful rocks and weeds must be removed. Only then will the good news of forgiveness in Jesus take root and grow deeply in our lives, resulting in a life of faith and good works. But guess what? We can't do this for ourselves. As any farmer can tell you, a field can't plow itself. A field cannot remove its own weeds and rocks. Someone has to do it for the field. And that's where the good news comes in, my friends. The sower who sows the seed that saves you is also the one who makes you into good soil. For example, God uses His word of judgment and repentance to humble you and to plow up the hardened part in your life that keeps the message of forgiveness from taking root in your heart and mind. God uses His word of judgment to rip out the rocks and weeds that keep you from appreciating and thirsting for the good news of forgiveness in Jesus' name. God's word of judgment shows you your sin and the damnation you deserve, but He does this only to make you into good soil in which Jesus' words of forgiveness will produce a harvest of strong faith and godly living. Jesus is the one who has made you into good soil, and He will keep you good soil as you continue to hear His word and believe it. For example, in last Sunday's gospel reading, we heard Jesus say, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me." Also in John chapter 8, Jesus says, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Finally, listen to what the Apostle Paul writes in Colossians chapter 3. He writes, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God." If you read the first 12 chapters of Matthew, you find that Jesus preached clearly about the kingdom of God. He clearly said, "Repent of your sin and believe the good news. I'm here to give you forgiveness and new life with God." In other words, acknowledge that you have sinned against God and that you deserve nothing but His wrath, but then rejoice in the fact that this same God has sent His Son to save you from your sins by suffering God's wrath in your place so that you might be forgiven and live in God's love forever. I think of the Bible verse that Dallas shared with our young people today. This is love. This is how God showed His love among us, by sending His one and only Son into the world to be a sacrifice for our sins. My friends, God brought you to this place for a reason. Jesus wants you to hear His word on a regular basis so that you can be good soil. Good soil in which His good news of forgiveness draws you closer and closer to Him and His eternal kingdom of mercy and love. So praise be to the sower who makes us into good soil in which His word grows and flourishes, producing a harvest of faith and good works. In closing, I would like to read for you the words of the hymn that we sang not too long ago before the sermon. "Almighty God, Your word is cast." I'd like you to open to hymn 577 with me and just follow along as I read these words, which is actually a prayer. "Almighty God, Your word is cast like seed into the ground. Now let the dew of heaven descend and righteous fruits abound. Let not the sly satanic foe this holy seed remove, but give it root in every heart to bring forth fruits of love. Let not the world's deceitful cares the rising plant destroy, but let it yield a hundredfold the fruits of peace and joy. So when the precious seed is sown, life-giving grace bestow, that all whose souls the truth receive, its saving power may know. Amen. In a moment we'll have the offering, but before we do that, please share the peace of the Lord with your neighbor.